Attention students, the Jabroni University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
Oh yeah, you're listening to the Draft Podcast. Let's start the show.
That's the start of the show, everybody.
Yeah,
we've got Drew Kistler.
Sup, y'all?
Got Andy Liner. Sup, y'all? And filling in for James Brington, we got the one, the only, Scrump.
Bang, bang. Sup, y'all?
Hell yeah.
Bang, bang. Sup, y'all?
Hey. You know, we had to go out.
Welcome
heavy.
To episode 318 of the Draft Podcast.
Wet month. This is the last episode of wet month until next year.
That's right.
And we brought up wet month when I visited Scrump's family video to talk Wolf of Wall Street, which join his Patreon and check that out because banger of an episode, by the way. And I told him we were doing, you know, shower scenes, and, you know, he thought it was interesting. So, boom, Drew puts out the bat signal. Scrump comes calling. Here we are. Shower, bath, hot tub scenes for the final installment of Wet Month.
Yeah.
I actually asked to be part of the abortion episode, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't get the call for that one.
Jeez.
I know.
I don't even know that many. Like, I don't know that many famous people that got aborted. You guys know any
famous people that got aborted?
I mean, not, yeah.
I could probably only think of like 18, so we couldn't do a full draft, you know?
Yeah. That's true. James is going to be so angry.
Yeah, I know. God damn it. I leave you guys alone for one night.
I took one night off to make some fucking spaghetti.
Spaghetti. Then,
you know, you guys, you're talking about the one thing I said we'd never talk about again.
Yeah, he's just hand rolling those meatballs right now.
Damn right he is. Yeah. Finest meatballs in the South.
Hey, Scrub, why don't you tell everybody where they can find all the great shows on the podcast?
You can head over to jabroniu.com where you can find such great shows as Why Did We Ever Meet? Ceramic Cat, Biff Radio, New Jabroni Pro Wrestling, and so many more.
That's crazy. You know more than Ashley does.
Yeah, no, well, that's, I mean, you know, that's.
In fairness, Ashley's a woman, so she can only, you know, her brain power only goes so much, you know?
Dude, you can't do that on Wet History Month.
Hey, yeah, that's true.
Oh man. Well,
I did that, but Andy, you didn't even do your sweet rap.
It's coming. It's a coming. Okay. Wet month.
Speaking of wet,
wet month. Hopping in the shower just to body wash these wet nuts. Got to clean behind the ears and in between the butt. Bottom of the feet, splash them in a puddle. Clean these nips to make them soft and supple.
Wet month.
Slinging sexy back while I rub this sexy back. Two people in the shower, shut your mouth with a sexy slap. One gets out and does the towel trick. The other just smiles and says, ain't that a bitch? Showering solo again with hands to the sky like Mr. Dufresne. Do the hide the dick thing, now you're David Blaine. You laugh, but no one's around. All good because you got that sweet shower sound. Pounding on the top of your head like you're in a 90s R&B video. Ah, shit, you got to take a dookie, shouts to Billy Joe. You dry your bum and go handle biz. Shower still running while you take a shiz. Back in and you're back to cleaning your A. But it sure feels good to shower on a Sunday. You're feeling all zestfully clean. A nice shower has a way of upping your sheen. Out the shower like a dancing queen. Ain't no better morning routine. Throw on Draft Pod for some nice dopamine. And Scrump and the boys will be drafting bath and shower scenes.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Oh, Yeah. Oh man, that was beautiful. Had the beat going the whole time too. I felt like I was Reggie Watts over here.
Oh boy, it's been a while.
Yeah.
You know. Here we are. We're doing shower, bath, hot tub scenes,
and we've got Kistler, Liner, Goshi.
Okay, that's Scrump for this yes. Instance.
Because I'm too lazy to write a new letter.
Well, to be fair, like I would say, since Scrump is none of them, he gets to pick his slot.
I mean, maybe he's the L.
Maybe he's the K.
Oh, I mean,
this is this. This is stressful because I there's one specific scene that I'm almost 99.9% sure that somebody else in this podcast might try to steal from me. So which I think part, I
which,
might.
Which person, by the way?
Yeah, you know, it's just. I think
I'm the, or you guys are the only ones with steel cards. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have one left?
Well, which person do you think would steal? Because this will determine if I take this movie first.
He did not rap. He did not. He has not. He has not performed a rap song on this podcast. You know what? Okay. It's okay. We keep the lineup. We'll keep the lineup. I don't mind third.
All right, yeah. There it is.
Okay,
we got Drew, Andy, Scrump doing Asian stuff.
Oh man, I mean. I guess I'll put myself on the
clock. That's a DAS.
On the cock.
Yeah.
Doing Asian stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
DAS. Yeah.
Shout out to Korean barbecue, the best food in all of, I almost said America, but that is true. But the best food in all of the world.
What was it?
Korean barbecue.
Oh, Korean barbecue.
I just had some Korean barbecue last week.
Man, there are no sticky rolls or whatever they are though.
No, not those sticky rolls. Those sticky rolls. If they had that at Korean barbecue,
dude, raps.
You know, speaking of sticky and finding yourself in a sticky situation, sometimes you steal a whole bunch of money from your boss, right? And then you have to get out of town and you have to stay at a little motel. And if you go there, you might get stabbed in the shower. So I'm going psycho. I think the most iconic Hershey squirt shower scene of all time.
Yeah. I go psycho killer Norman Bates. My producer slam.
I'm very happy that that was not the one that I was intending to talk about.
Oh, interesting. Ooh.
Okay, no. Yeah.
So yeah, I just think it's when it comes to this, it's probably the most iconic of all time. I mean, it also has had, you know, 60 years to be iconic. So, you know, one of the scariest moments without actually seeing any stabbing. So
that is true.
Yeah,
that's
and been parried to death.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I hadn't seen it prior to the podcast that we had with James, Drew, and Wes, where they drafted movies for me to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Psycho was awesome. I really liked it. And the two things that were that I didn't typically watch was horror and black and white. And they combined those two things and said, fuck your rules, Andy. We're going to make you love me.
And you were like, man, Janet Leigh. Janet Leigh in that old pointy bra, huh?
Dude. You're talking about a JCPenney catalog bra right there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Got that underwire.
Dude, come on now. Time out. Tell me this.
Yeah.
What was like your go-to, like, did it not matter, but like, what was your go-to like bra catalog or whatever, if you will, when you were like, say, like 12? From a different
generation. He's like, what are you talking about? I had porn on my phone.
I know.
No, I'm in between. I was born 93. Yeah. So
okay,
so a little bit.
He was just watching Girls Gone Wild infomercials.
Girls Gone Wild infomercials definitely helped a bit. But there was a Victoria's Secret magazine that would come through. If not, like, every now and then, like, we clearly wouldn't have the best mailman. Because every now and then we'd get, like, stuff that wasn't ours. And if you were lucky, you'd get, like, a Maxim magazine.
Oh.
Or a Men's Health magazine.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah. No,
but Drew knows what I'm talking about. You would get, like, you would get the catalog of, like, JCPenney's or whatever, and there'd be, like, three or four pages of, like, bras.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's all you had, you know? You were just like, wow, this is impressive.
I feel like – I was going to say, I feel like – do you guys remember that episode of The League where he's looking – there's, like, a video of, like, some sports bra, and it's, like, the bounce test. Yeah. But even then, I'm like, no, because you can go on TikTok now and fucking see something. Go on Instagram and you could find, like, softcore porn.
Oh, it's literally nothing. But, like, back in the day, like – or, like
where it
like a Vogue magazine, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Because some of those artists didn't know how to, like, you know, they forgot to, you know, do the little, what's that thing?
Airbrush?
Yeah, like where you brush out the nips or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, sometimes, so, like, we were, like, regular, what do they call them? That, like, dude played it, you know, fucking looking for shit. Like, he knows how to find stuff. He's got a friend.
Sherlock Holmes. Watson.
Waldo?
Yeah, we were regular. Where's Sherlock Waldo? Holmes, you know?
Waldo?
I don't know why I said, where's Waldo?
That is true, because Waldo was the nipple.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can find a nip. I see what you're saying, yeah.
That's what I'm going for, yeah. You guys piece this weird brain together.
A long fucking way to get there. Speaking of a long way to get there, next up is Asian.
That's me. All right. I got a few different ways I could go with this. But because I'm going to be so furious if I do not get this, then I have to... what some would say overreach, but I don't think so. This movie's a banger. This scene is a banger. And it's the start of the movie. I got to take John Leguizamo, The Pest.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. You know what I'm talking about. He's like rapping and he's got his song and he's got the different like voices that he does. It's so fucking good. And he's just like, he's dancing in the shower. All of a sudden there's like six legs in the shower and he's doing like Groucho Marx. He's doing like all this weird stuff. Somebody actually put the music as the background to the John Wick scene where like he's in the car garage and they have music playing in the background. And it's one of the funniest things on YouTube. Where it's like the Pest music it's his music from the intro of The Pest.
Yeah.
And they put it as like the background of the John Wick music. I'll have to send that over. But like, yeah, this thing's a banger. Scrump, have you seen The Pest?
I've not seen the movie, but I've seen that intro plenty of times because Matt Nix of Freelance Wrestling, that is like one of his I would assume comfort movies with the reverence in which he talks about it. And I remember him explaining it to me one time, and then we're like, what the fuck, like, what are we doing explaining in the age of the internet and looking it up? But I have actually seen the video you're talking about with where they like splice it in with the John Wick stuff. Yeah, very reminiscent of something else that I have on here. So I didn't want to point out some specifics, but it is. Would you recommend the rest of the movie, or do you think I'm seeing the opening is enough?
What I would say is I highly understand if you say it's the worst movie you've ever seen. But also, if you get it and it clicks, it's also one of those things that you'll be excited to talk to other fans of The Pest about, because
okay,
the movie is one of those things where I think for some people it's so bad it's good, and mm-hmm. then there's for some it's a comfort movie, which I would fall into that category too, and then there's for some they see it and it's they're like, that's the worst fucking movie I've ever seen in my life. Those are like the three ways to go mm-hmm. about the movie. Drew, where do you fit on the pest?
God, if I had to guess, it'd be more on the worst movie I've ever seen. But I think maybe I just need to rewatch it with my new eyes. You know, I remember watching it as a kid and just being like, okay.
And you know what? And to be fair, though, I think there is something to that, because there are movies that I've definitely gone back to, like, so it's the Star Wars prequels are sort of my go-to in that, where like I watched them and I was like, they're fine. And then for years it was like, oh yeah, no, they're terrible. But it was more so just because everyone else was telling me they were bad. Uh-huh. And again, I've since then gone back and rewatched, and I'm just like, no, like these are fine. These yeah. are fine films. Like it's, you know, and it's just, it's weird because I feel like as a society, we're sort of, it's either the best thing in the world mm-hmm. or a cinematic abortion when it comes to like, you know, movies and TVs. Like there's no yeah. more in between. You can't just have like a, no, yeah, that was fun, I enjoyed it, because all the Letterbox fucking dudes come out and have to let you know how stupid you are.
All the fucking film coat hangers.
Yeah.
There's a 15-year, like, I also feel like there's like a 15 to 20 year window too, where all of a sudden a movie is like the best movie that's ever made. Like, I feel like that happens a lot too. Like, oh yeah, if you watch that recently, like it's really good. It's like, no, it's
well, here's what happened to the best for me. I fucking loved it, and John Leguizamo instantly became somebody that I was like, I'm going to support all the movies. Mm-hmm. You know, this dude does. I love him. Love the character. And then there was the people immediately that hated it. And because there were so many people that hated it, and I loved it, I started to love the movie that much more because of the people that were hating it.
Yeah. I think he's great. I just, it's definitely not his best work. Like, I feel like everything he's done other than that has been better. Like, he's a fucking fantastic actor. So,
oh, he is. Yeah.
See, I can relate to Annie, to what you were saying, because my prime example of that is sort of always the first Pokemon movie and the first Power Ranger movies. Okay. Suck. They're not good. I know someone right now is getting their pitchfork out. It's nostalgia. Okay. It is good because it's the nostalgia, and if you enjoy it, sure, that's fine. Yeah. But like the follow up sequels,
news.
You know, it's like the follow up sequels to those are better movies in every aspect of how you're. But again, mm-hmm. it's a lot of just like, no, it's nostalgia, and that's fine, because like I think that's one of the
new Power Rangers movie was like way better than the first one.
I really liked it. I didn't fucking really care about it at first. Went back and rewatched and was just like, yeah, like this wasn't bad. It was just a fucking, oh, but it wasn't like I didn't, when I was a kid, it was better. And then once that just got out of my system, I was like, no, yeah. It was fine. Carol G is in it, or Becky G. One of the G's is in it. And she is a babe.
Allie G.
Yeah. Oh God. He would have made an excellent fucking Lord Zed.
All right, Scrump, what do you got?
All right. I'm going with the bathtub scene in The Shining.
I have it on my list.
Yeah. Well, it's so I'm going back to back, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there were two that I thought Drew might fucking steal from me, and so now I'm probably gonna take it from him. But yeah, this is one that like is still it's still creepy, you know.
Yeah.
And most recently I was watching Ready Player One, and about the only good thing from that movie, at least that I enjoyed, whoa, was when they go to the Overlook Hotel and they recreate that scene, and it was, you know, they work their way around showing, you know, like the old saggy tits and everything like that.
Yeah.
But it's still like, I feel like it still holds up, you know, it's very much, you know, the siren call where you're just like, oh shit. And especially I think like in The Shining where it very much is like what's real and what isn't. Cause clearly, you know, Jack is falling into this, you know, he's going deep into this madness and we don't really know what's real and what's not. And it's like, oh yeah, of course. No, there's not this sexy, you know, sexy ghost over here. It's this fucking decaying witch. And that
my also the bathroom, favorite part about The Shining, probably.
That bathroom also is very nice aesthetically, like that bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great fucking bathroom.
I have a couple of these that are like, they're horror bait, like they're horror ones, but they're just, and maybe that's why it's so impactful because like, it's like, no, I was just expecting that girl. Who's that?
Yeah, see,
or even like with Psycho, it's like, no, it was just a sexy shower scene.
Here's the thing. Like, you guys both picked horror related ones, and this will give you the idea on how I think about showers versus maybe other people do. Uh-huh. I know getting into the shower for a lot of people apparently is like a scary thing, I guess. And it's because of things like Psycho, and like, say you're like a woman that's alone in an apartment, you're by yourself, all that kind of stuff. I can understand that. Versus I view the shower time very much like the pest, you know?
Fucking play.
So like
Andy.
Yeah, but then Andy's Shining.
Andy's got toys in there.
I actually do. I mean, they're not mine, but like,
sure.
Yeah, we have a water fucking table that like you do outside, and like if you put the water in the top, it like rains down because we can just slide it under the shower and the kid can watch it like, you know, play rather than outside where like shit's got to get wet. Like in the shower, it's self-cleaning.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous of that water table now. Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it comes standard.
But I think that's an interesting thing, though, is like some people view the shower as like that can be kind of scary and like get out, get it over with. All that versus like for me, the shower is like,
yeah, no, I get so it's funny because I talked this weekend I went on a date and we're just sort of talking about yeah,
you're doing the laugh track thing.
Yeah. shout out the May Queen if she's listening or watching, because she thinks I'm handsome, so she might be watching video. But nice. Well, she's not on this feed right now watching semantics. But one of the things we're talking about,
1 minute clip.
Yeah, 1 minute clip. Well, I told her, I was like, it's
this, by the way, it's gonna be this clip.
It's gonna be this. I'm not a real athlete, so I imagine like, if I'm dating someone, the equivalent of like a girlfriend going to a basketball game or some sort of sports game to support their boyfriend is she would be sitting here like, you go, babe. Yeah, you tell them about The Shining, and
she's coming in for Queen month all next month.
I'll send her the Zoom link.
Yeah, she's on right now. I'm like, who's this fourth person in here? But no, like how there are like some differences between like men and women, in as much as like that, even if like with dating, where it's like that, I think some men, like you say that and it's sort of like, huh, why would someone feel that way? But then you mention it, it's like, oh yeah, of course. Like I understand why, if you're a woman living alone, you're worried that the 10-15 minutes that you want to just relax, that if you let your guard down, someone's going to break your door and the worst thing possible is going to fucking happen.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. Like, think about all of the scenes that happen where like a woman is behind the curtain, and usually it's not good for the woman that's behind the curtain.
Right.
Whatever it is, it's good for the person on the other side, you know? So,
I mean, to the point where we've been conditioned, because I think back to like the last Scream movie was like, or not the Scream 5. If the last one was 6, I think this one's 5. But you have one of the boys, like, he's in the shower, and I'm just like, know what they're going to do. They're just imparting you to death. And when they don't, when it doesn't happen, you're just like, oh, okay. But yeah. Even then, like, it is now to the point where if I'm watching someone shower in a movie in the least sexy way possible, like, yeah. You're almost just expecting it.
Yeah. Tropes. Yeah. Fucking tropes.
Those classic tropes.
R.I.T. Rope, get us. What do you got next? All right.
My turn again, right?
Yep.
You got it.
All right. I am going with season 3, episode 7, The Most Powerful Man in the World and His Identical Twin Brother from The Leftovers. And it is this in which Kevin Garvey drowns himself to go into this ethereal world that may or may not be true. I mean, you know, it's the penultimate episode for The Leftovers, and the entire, for the most part, in season 2 and 3, we see him, you know, die and not really die. You know, he goes into this other world. It's sort of just like, how would you explain it, Drew, to someone who's not seen the show, the other side? Like,
I think it's just the other side, man. Like,
yeah, like it's some sort of weird,
I would say
purgatory, it's more
of a, yeah, purgatory limbo kind of thing.
Yeah. And this specific episode is one, like, I'm constantly fucking posting, like, the yeah. one specific scene, you know, where it's two Justin Theroux talking to each other. But yeah, this is my favorite because just one of the more, I don't know, one of the more, wait, what's so funny?
We'll call this
the Trump Drew. Bro.
The scrump rule. So I looked because we were doing movie scenes, and I looked at what Drew sent you, and Drew sent you water scenes. He did not make it specific that it was movies or TV. So you know, for this, you get TV.
Yeah.
Because Drew worded it incorrectly.
I to be fair, I have about 10 alternates, so I can just swap that one out real quick and throw something in that I don't have to spend five minutes talking about.
It's your call.
All right, so I will take that one out and replace it with the opening scene of Inception, where Cobb, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, gets the kick that sort of sets everything in motion. How we learn these kick works that famously was parried in the 6-foot, 7-foot music video by Lil Wayne. Wayne, where they recreate it. Yeah, it is my favorite. It's at that age.
7 foot.
Yeah. If you really wanted someone to watch something over and over on YouTube, you have Lil Wayne do a parody of it. Yeah. And by that, I mean, go check out the 500 Days of Wheezy on SoundCloud. Mix that someone did of the 500 Days of Summer soundtrack with Lil Wayne songs in there.
That's badass. I am going to go check that out.
So you picked a Lil Wayne music video? No.
The Lil Wayne music video. Yeah. No, that's fine. I'll move them around.
Oh, and you know what? You know, next year I'll put it on the board right now. Scrump will come back for TV shower and rains. Or
I like that though. The Leo.
I had some TV ones too that came to mind, and I was like, no. But man, we do it next year. I know what's up.
Yeah, this is solid because he's in the chair, and he just dips back, and then boom, the kick happens. Yeah.
I mean, especially too, like if it's your first time watching it, you're not really like, it's hard to already explain what's going on, but if you can actually sort of see it, and it's a good precursor for what's about to come when they're like, here's this convoluted 4-level kick, and you either get it or you don't. It's like the pest. You either get it or you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the pest, except it's, if you don't think it's good, then you're in the minority versus the complete opposite of the best.
Yeah.
If you think it's good, you're in the minority. I like that. Damn. Okay.
Me too. All right.
Scrum picked two of my favorite movies back to back with The Shining and Inception. Oh, okay. So I started with The Pest. And then I'm going to go next to, you know what? This feels good. Because we, yeah, I'll hold off and hopefully I can get it at the right spot, but I'm going to go a different route. Actually, I'm going to go with Scrump mentioned Lil Wayne with 6 foot, 7 foot music video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mention Ludacris with, I think it was the start of an album or a song where he says the royal penis is clean, your highness. So I'm going to go Coming to America here.
Yeah.
That bathtub scene.
Yeah, that was a good one, especially for little boy Drew.
Dude. Yeah. Because, well, here's the thing. Coming to America, like, I know I saw it before. I should have seen it. Eddie Murphy was like my guy.
Yeah.
Like, growing up. So I don't know if it's because, like, I saw it. I can't imagine it was I saw it at my house unless I saw it and my parents just weren't there. I probably saw it at a friend's house. But like I was into Eddie Murphy and coming to like movies back then were kind of like sketchy. If it was like PG-13 or R,
mm-hmm.
like sometimes they would screw up the rating on the backs of the VHS tapes. Yeah. I feel like this was one of those cases, or like I got to watch other Eddie Murphy movies. So me and whoever the kid I was with, like, gave this movie and we were able to end up watching it, not with the other parents. But I do remember, like, whoa, that chick's like, what are these things, you know? Like, that chick's just showing him off in the tub and, you know, cleaning his royal penis. So, yeah, this was good.
I definitely think that that's one of those. One, it's like, it, to me, there were several movies that like friends would tell me about, but it was one of those like, don't watch it when your parents are around though, you know? Like, I don't, so my sister and I, we would watch movies sometimes together. And if there was something like that, it was that like awkward, like us sort of like, not so much as awkward because it's like, oh, we're, it's nice, but it's one of those, like, if our parents walk in now, you know, like it's very, very much like the way, like when I started watching wrestling, for some reason, the only time anyone would ever walk in was when Chavo Guerrero was coming out. And there's that like, Chavo. It's like, but I definitely remember, you know, this specific scene, watch it. Whenever I did watch it, it was always at like a friend's house when, you know, we're like, there's no parents there. But like I told my mom, you know, Anthony and Christian's, both his parents are here.
Yeah.
His godparents are here too. It's all the parents are here, actually. Do you want to come? No, you sure? Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out Jesus.
Shout out Jesus.
All right. I'm on the board. I'm going to go with, you know, I think again, it's one of the most iconic, shower scenes of all time, and it's three quotation mark high school boys watching 10, 15 high school girls take a shower, and like to cap it off with, would you move it, lard ass? Like the best move, like points, and yeah, I'm going Porky's, the shower, you know, the spying thing.
This started the fantasy or fascination with peeking in, I feel like.
Yeah.
Of like showers. Well, I guess there was MASH where the whole shower like came up or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a topless chick, and that was a PG movie somehow.
Yeah.
That showed like naked breasts. But Porky's, I feel like in my head, was like the start of when like I was like, whoa, it would be so cool to just like look through and see somebody showering, which is probably not the greatest thing to think, but Porky's lives in my mind as like that movie.
See, coming fresh off of having done, you know what, never mind. I won't reference that because it might, I don't know if one of you guys might reference it later, but
I got you.
No, it's, I mean, I understand what you mean, though, where it's like, as a little boy, that's one of those like exciting, like, and I mean exciting and just like,
dude, it's on the cover.
Yeah.
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 It's on the like, fucking cover.
It's the selling point really of the movie. Yeah. And
yes.
I mean, I never like myself and my friends, despite all the shenanigans we got into, you know, it was like there was never anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, like where as opposed to I remember probably the closest to any sort of Porky's type situation that's ever happened is and you guys would have seen them, all the condos that are right next to the warehouse where I'm recording this from.
Yeah.
When they were building those, myself and my manager Frank, we would break in and just like explore.
Yeah.
Just to see like what they were doing. And I remember one time we went all the way up to the top floor, whatever the top floor is, maybe like three or four stories up at that point. And we're like just looking, and we're, again, we have a flashlight because we're looking around and making sure we don't fucking fall and die. Yeah. And I remember at one point we each have flashlights. We're just talking and mind you, there's houses across from it. And we just happen to look across and there is just a woman topless in her window, and we look and she looks and me and Frank look at each other and we turn off the flashlights because immediately we're peeping toms, we're fucking like perverts, you know. And that I think scenarios like that is more likely to happen than the actual Porky's, you know, like you know. But it's just like I think
we've all, not saying all, but like I think a lot of us have had at least one situation that happened like that.
Yeah.
Like where you're like, you know, you're not trying to look. Well, sometimes you might be. But like then all of a sudden you see something and you're just like, wait, did I see what I think I just saw? You know, and it's kind of like sexy NASCAR. You know?
No?
No, I don't know. Explain sexy NASCAR.
Well, because you just don't want to take your eyes off of it. It's like a crash, but in a sexy way.
Oh, okay.
And you just like you know you probably shouldn't be watching, but you can't not look. Sexy NASCAR. Yeah.
All right.
Also, possible possible draft. Sexiest NASCAR drivers. Yeah,
dude, Drew. Let's keep this one for the actual listeners and not make this a clip.
Yeah. This will be. No, I think I'm gonna do the May Queen one.
Yeah. She'll pop for that.
Yeah, she will. Oh, before I go, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Kevin Aldridge. Uh-oh, why is it not playing?
Found a
there it is. God damn it. God damn it. One of these days, this segment will work.
Jeez, just man. Plan. Oh, my God.
Listen, you're if scantily two. Clad Kevin Aldridge isn't walking out right now, I'm leaving this podcast.
Here we go.
Found a handsome person and he wants to tell you all about him. Hey, it's Kay.
Case handsome person of the week. All right. And here we go with Kevin telling us who it is.
Hey, boys, it's KA. And I'm back with another KA's handsome person of the week. Today, we got Idris Elba. He is so handsome.
Yeah.
He might be the most handsome person that will ever be a handsome person of the week, but we still have to go through the exercise because it's a subjective art form, right? So, yeah, Stringer Bell, Luther, a host of other things. Again, not work rate related in any way. Idris Elba is so handsome, and he is the handsome person of the week.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Yeah, he got it right this week too. So
dude, nailed it. He's two for two. You know, like you said, Stringer Bell. I was gonna say that, but like now, he's developed a little bit of white in the beard.
Yeah,
it's almost like taking it to a different level of sexy for him.
You know? He's someone who, I feel, got into the MCU too early, as I feel like the role of Heimdall is wasted. Yeah. Or I feel like Idris Elba is wasted on the role of Heimdall.
Mm.
And
I gotcha.
could I honestly, like, if they were like, hey, Reed Richards, Idris Elba, like, do it.
Yeah,
like, he is just, I get, like KA mentioned, very handsome and very versatile as well.
You would look like, different enough, I think.
I'll tell you what,
both characters,
you guys ready for this?
Yeah,
Black George Clooney.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be Batman.
But I'm just saying, like a fine freaking wine.
Yeah.
This guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I almost wish he would do more comedy centric things, because I remember him on The Office and like,
as a straight man, like he was
as as the straight man. And it was just like, see, you know, just the constant like Jim not being able to gym because Idris Elba is, you know, his, I forget what his character's name was in that show, but it's just so like, and even when he would still appear, like they go to like that company wide picnic and he's still just like looking like a fucking asshole anytime he's in front of Idris Elba. And it's just, I love it. That was one of my favorite like bits, if you would call it like a reoccurring bit, of just like him looking like an asshole in front of Idris Elba, because he just,
yeah, every time he straight tried to do anything, it would just fail miserably. But anyway, back to me, back on the clock.
Yep, back at it.
Another, I think, iconic shower scene, shower, bath, hot tub, hot water scene is, you know, getting to see, you know, sometimes people just want to relax, smoke a doob.
Oh, damn.
And you
I
know,
I should have took it there.
Not have a ferret dropped in their crotch. I'm gonna go the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a funny scene when they come in there and, you know, fucking Mormons. It's not a, you know, that's not legal either. You know,
having that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fucking candles.
Yeah,
like I respect a man that could put on some candles and just kick back in a bathtub.
Yeah,
like it's good shit.
Dude, normally, so I don't, because I'm too big to fit in a bathtub. I don't have a standing shower. I don't normally get in a bathtub, but funny enough, I usually, when I do this. I literally was gonna say, Drew, I don't know if you can smell it, but you can't, because that's not how fucking podcasts work. Nope, but normally I do have a candle 27 here, like lit. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it is relaxing, and like I feel like there's several stigmas that we're breaking, you know? Like
I need to add a candle to my desk, man.
You should. Yeah. Listen, Target has some good ones. I'll recommend you some, but definitely, yeah, like, and it is in, you know, like, if you get you watch the Big Lebowski, a sugar cookie and a candle, you get the fuck out of here, Andy.
Oh my god,
that is I'm not getting out of that bathtub.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Oh dude, I can imagine though, like a white Russian candle, that'd be sick.
Mine
like
is like
Lebowski white Russian candle.
I wish I had it. I took it downstairs. No, I actually like, I find myself again, just like now that I'm almost at 30, like going more and more towards like the home goods section of these stores. So something like a candle or like a nice rug is, or something just sort of appeals to me for. And I feel like the Big Lebowski is definitely, and I don't feel like that's a recent thing with him. I feel like this has been him his entire life.
Oh, 100%.
I could confidently say, you know, you watch the Big Lebowski and this man has been having this ritual in this bathtub, maybe not this specific bathtub, but this is a ritual that has been going on for years.
It's about vibes. Drew just set the vibe with the candle.
I did.
What flavor you got?
Oh,
flavor?
Yes, I eat candles.
Something woods.
Okay. All right. You're a woodsman. I see you. I like the good baked goods candle.
Kind of like, it's kind of like scratched right there.
Yeah. Also, I love the wicks that like, you flick it on and it makes the noise, the wood burning noise. Ooh, ooh.
Ooh, speaking of candles, you too, Vamp, real quick.
A Yankee candle.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit right there so everybody can enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can smell it from here.
Hell yeah. Like, fucking smell a Zoom.
Mm. Yeah, Zoom's going out. We're going to introduce the first ever smell podcast.
Yeah. The problem is if we all light candles, it's going to smell like, it's just going to be like Bath and Body Works when you walk by that and it's like 1,000 cents coming out at it. It's just like, oh, what
is? We'll set them up. We'll do them separate. Like the first 20 minutes is you. Next 20 is me. Next 20, James.
Yeah.
We'll rotate it. Yeah.
Next 20, Scrump.
Yeah, they'll get a nice mountain air and then all of a sudden they'll get a vanilla and then they'll get a fresh linen. Like, we'll mix it up.
Can I be real with you guys?
Yeah, let's keep it real.
Yeah.
Anytime I smell vanilla candle, vanilla lotion, it takes me back to I had a vanilla lotion that I would use for certain activities. And
use for what?
Why were you using vanilla?
Because that was the lotion that I had. Like, it was like a fucking, I think it was a Bath and Body Works, like, vanilla. I don't know how I came across it. I really don't. But it
came across all right.
Oh, I came, yeah. And then, but yeah, like, so now, like, if I just smell that shit, I'm just like, oh, man, 2002 jerks. Those were the best.
So,
those 21-year-old jerks.
There used to be, or they might still be around. I'm not sure, as I have not checked them out recently. But for episode 98 of the PWT cast, I, and just myself, nobody else, interviewed Chris Pilkington from Main Event Candles. Which Main Event Candles, they used to put out. Again, they might still do. It's like wrestler based candles. I found out about them because they had some Marty and Sarah candles. And so we interviewed the guy and we talked with him like, hey, you know, we have episode 100 coming up. I think it'd be something fun to go ahead and put out. And there was only ever two of these made. One that I gave to Ryan, as this was in celebration for episode 100, but you guys can see it is the one and only PWT cast candle. It is Ryan Barkin's Grand Floridian scented candle, as per his wife. His favorite scent in the world is the Grand Floridian in Disney World.
Yes, that is a great smell.
Yeah, it's a good smell. And again, this is he only ever made us two. I used to be in contact with the gentleman more, and then I started bullying. I started defending my company from another t-shirt company. And
gotcha.
I think that might have rubbed them the wrong way, but it's fine. They still have, again, if they're still around, definitely check out their fucking candles, because they're all really great. But I have a candle.
I like that.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get one that smells like whatever Drew's favorite scent is. Vanilla lotion.
Jeez, man. Well, you know what Drew's favorite scent is.
It's really not, though. It's really not. It just, like, you know how smells just take you back to it, like,
yeah,
anything else,
dude. They really do.
Instead of Ryan Barkin's Grand Floridian, it'll be Drew Kistler's teenage memories,
dude. What about this? Like, going back in time to, like, Andy's visits to his friend's house where he saw his friend's grandmother naked smell.
Oh, so is that the moment you were talking about? That you couldn't look away from? That NASCAR?
Dude, so that was, but not sexy NASCAR. That wasn't sexy NASCAR.
That was sexy NASCAR, yeah.
It's as soon as we say it, like, now it's like ingrained in my head, and I was 12 years old. But I can never forget that moment. If I got amnesia, I would never forget that moment.
Man.
Like, if I went in a coma, I would be in the coma, but thinking about that moment. Like, that moment just lives in my head.
All right. So, speaking of moments that live in your head.
Yeah.
I think it's you, but, like, Do you guys still have like a 20-year-old, you know, check in the bank that you still use? a deposit that you made 20 years ago that you're like, oh yeah, I still have that memory.
Well, 20 years ago, I would have been, oh yeah, I would have been like 10.
I mean, I guess maybe 15 for you.
But check like, in the bank?
Like, you know, in the, yeah.
Oh.
In that bank.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Several.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's... you know what's okay. Okay. So I 100% get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I feel like since it's your memory.
Yeah.
Of that moment in time.
Yeah.
It's okay. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It like statue of limitations, whatever, because it's a moment that lives in your head. Because
yeah, you were both that age, like
correct, yeah, correct. You know what I'm saying? Like something that happened to you, maybe like
I'm not gonna say either. But I there's specifically two from when I was probably like 13, 14 that I'm just like. It'll come up in the Rolodex every once.
Yeah, no, because like some of them are like
it's like one of those little old things that you. Dude,
some of them are first memories.
The viewfinder things.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I have one from a school bus.
Uh huh.
I will never forget. I will never ever forget.
Yeah. I have one about a bathing suit that I can still fucking describe to this day.
yeah.
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 Yeah. I only make new memories.
I only make new. Yeah.
In case anyone's listening, I only make new memories. Yeah. You know,
the podcast shout out 187.
Yeah. Shout out Earth Day. I had the best Earth Day ever. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, Andy, what are you picking?
All right. So, I'm going a different route here.
Dude, I do love that James is gone and we're fucking completely off the rails.
Oh, yeah. All right. This is a James pick. This is for James. This is for myself as well.
Uh-huh.
But this is a shower of something that's not even a person. I'm going Home Alone too.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you got the shower scene. You got the...
pervert.
Yeah, you got the great like the talk boy, and you got the dude that just plays the scene immaculately. One of the best acted performances of all time is that Bell guy who's just, you know, terrified.
Tim Curry.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just one of those things like I always wanted to try it, like growing up, like I always thought it would be so cool to like everybody wanted to get left home alone for sure. But then also the idea of like fooling somebody with like in the first one where they were doing around the Christmas tree, obviously.
Yeah.
From the curtains. And then in this one behind the shower curtain where he comes in and he just angry little, you know, pervert, all that. Like it's just it's fantastic.
Me and a friend of mine have talked about like going as those weird fucking mannequin dolls for Halloween. Like this one would be a good one too, to be like the clown, be the clown, but have like a little fake shower around you, you know, like
with
like the hula hoop and then just like a shower curtain, like like a little pervert, like
especially if the shower could come up and down.
Yeah,
like if you could just get like an extension, like you know, you push it up. And then, like, you get to do that, like, behind the shower curtain.
Yeah.
But then, like, when you're drinking, you can push it down and drink.
You could just open and close the shower curtain. Right?
Yeah, that's one of, like, I've always just been more impressed with, like, how quickly he's able to pull that off.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's one of those, like in the first movie, it sort of makes more sense. Like you're at home, you can sort of find all these things and do all these, but it's even think of that. It's like, I wouldn't, you know,
yeah.
Like I would be like, sorry, we're busy. and have like the TV on or something. I think putting the TV on would be as far as I would get, but yeah, seeing all the contraptions and stuff like that, and it's I think most of it is just in Tim Curry and how fucking I don't know if you guys know he's if you've seen him before, he's a pretty good actor. Yeah. You know, so a lot of it is just his performance.
Yeah. Dude.
Sorry, I gotta brush my teeth because Drew just put his nuts all in my mouth when he dunked on me.
He's he's great in Clue.
Dude, Clue is awesome.
Clue is awesome.
I fucking love Clue.
I don't know. I saw it once. And I was like, I don't get it.
It's going to be harder to watch it now.
Dude,
after seeing like Glass Onion and Knives Out and like all that shit. Like, but Clint, at its time, it was
he's so bang. Good in it of just like running back and forth. And
yeah,
like,
Christopher Lloyd in it?
I think so.
I think that's why I might have watched it.
Yeah. It's got a cast that you would probably recognize, but
yeah, like I see, it's funny. I remember because it would have been when around the time that I would have discovered Smodcast, because I remember they talked about it. One time
Christopher
on an
Lloyd
episode.
Was Professor Plum.
There you go. Yeah. And it was one of those I was like, oh, I wonder who's in this. And Christopher Lloyd, he's just someone that I very much love. So I was like, all right, let me watch this with him in it. And
he's your John Leguizamo.
Madeline Kahn.
He's my John Leguizamo.
Michael McKean.
Wait, Michael McKean is fucking old.
Miguel, Mr.
Jimmy's brother.
Yeah. Like, what's this? Harold? No, Harold's the other guy.
Holy shit, man. Tim Curry, like, outside of this documentary, was in 21. Hadn't been in a movie since 2010.
Wow. I think he got sick.
He's probably in some TV and stuff like that, I'm guessing.
I think he got sick and stopped doing stuff.
Didn't he? He had a stroke, I believe.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, obviously.
Damn, yeah, he hasn't done
a little movie called It, you know. Rocky Horror.
Well, that's what he was. In 2021, there was Pennywise, the story of It, where it was a documentary and he was in it, I guess.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Is it Scrumptious back up?
Yeah.
It is me. And this specific scene is one that isn't a traditional shower, but it is from Pulp Fiction, where you have the wolf played by Harvey Keitel giving Vincent Vega, John Travolta, and Jules, played by Sam Jackson, a shower with the hose. It's the whole wolf showing up and just instantly fucking telling everyone to do, and Vincent Vega, like, the, you know, mad that he's being out alpha, is always just one of my favorites. You know, it's one of my buddies told me that there's like a cut of this that it's the timeline wise, you know, so it's like it's everything's the way it should be. And I'm almost like, you know what? I don't think I would enjoy it that way. I almost enjoy it better the way they present it to us, where here's a little bit of, you know, Vincent and Jules, and then, you know, we sort of cap off with them as well. And again, to me, this is sort of funny where.
Yeah, it is.
Specifically just, you know, like fucking, oh, here are the clothes. You guys look like fucking nerds.
Quentin,
he's like,
standing right there.
Yeah, you guys like fucking dorks. He's like, your fucking clothes, you idiot. Like, what the fuck?
The towels.
Towels.
Yeah.
The linen, the nice linen. Our aunt, you know, she's no longer with us. He's like, yeah, you know, I think, Aunt Kathy, she bought these for you. I think your uncle, you know, Marcellus, you know, he'll buy you guys this and a new bedside. And he's kind of just like, yeah, fuck the linen. Like, and I don't know, but like, you know, Andy, how would your wife react if she came home and all the good linen was trash, but you're like, it's okay, honey, here. Like, I'm buying a whole new bed set.
Yeah. We just had that happen. So, our washer was leaking.
Man,
I just started throwing towels down, and she came home and she's like, "What are you doing? I don't want those towels to get the dirty water." I was like, "What do you want me to use?" You know, I just grabbed anything. I didn't care. But yeah, she had specific things she wanted to use versus me. I was just looking to grab any towel around and throw it down on the floor.
I tell you, you know, if you got something, Andy's had that happen to him as well.
Yeah.
anything.
That's what I hear. Like if a gun gets pulled, that happened to me
twice.
So more than twice, actually.
Four times, right?
Yeah. So the funny thing about this scene, though, real quick, is in this scene, because I just looked at it, Quentin Tarantino is like directing as he's acting in the scene, because he's telling them where to like spray. So it's kind of funny. It's like very Inception-y. Because he's the director.
Yeah.
But he's acting, but he's directing as an actor to the other actor.
Yeah.
Wild.
Inception. I don't know. James, do you have anything else to add?
No.
I'm saying James because it says James on the yeah. Sorry, James, we're talking all about fucking vanilla scented lotions and abortions on this episode.
The vanilla abortion episode.
The vanilla abortion episode. my next pick though is one that I know Drew, you're gonna be a little bit familiar. I don't know if you've watched it, Andy, or not, but I'm going with Drinking Buddies. The scene specifically is in which Luke, played by Jake Johnson, cuts his hand and then gets into a fight while helping. Or no, he get this is before the fight. He cuts his hand while he's helping his friend, Kate, played by Olivia Wilde, while moving. You know, he cuts it with a nail and goes and cleans it up. And again, this is just such a it's one of these scenes where, again, if you've not watched the movie, you know, you have these two, they're friends. Luke and Kate, but there's clearly an underlying romance between the two. But you know, one is engaged, the other one is up and down right now with her boyfriend and stuff like that. But there's this clear connection, and I think most people have had that sort of, you know, with a friend or a coworker, this sort of will they, won't they, but like, no, it's probably better for the friend group, or it's just nah, you know, power dynamic, whatever the case is. And that's clearly what's going on here. And you
not
know,
familiar
it's
with the situation at all.
and this is specifically coming off of, you know, they just spent the whole day, you know, moving things. And, you know, there's this really one of my favorite scenes, you know, they have this, this song called Tonight. It's playing, it's by Sybil. I forget her last name, but it's this really like sort of, it's like a romantic scene. It's a nice, like cute little scene, you know, where, poor Luke, he's tired already. So he's gone to bed and Kate sees him and she just comes in and gets all snuggled up with him. So you're sort of led to like, oh, it's going to be cute. Yeah. But then this scene happens and it's just like a complete 180. The dude's like gushing from the fucking hand and they have the moving truck outside. And, you know, the director who also came is in this, much like in Pulp Fiction, you know, he's like, move your fucking truck, asshole. This is also like a neighborhood in Chicago proper that I'm very familiar with.
Yeah.
And they get into a fight and everything just goes to shit. But like, it's just, again, when I think of just, you know, they're in the bathroom and his fucking hand, he's just, again, it is like Eddie Guerrero versus JBL at Judgment Day, how much blood is just pouring out of this man's hand. And,
Dude, Jake Johnson's a man. I fucking love him. He's like you have comfort movies. He's like a comfort actor for me.
He really is. Scrubs turned me around on him just in the past like 6 months. Like you went on that little run of watching all those Jake Johnson things, and I was just like, yeah, like he's every time I see him, I'm like, yeah, he is pretty fucking cool. Like
he's not as popular Paul Rudd. He's like indie Paul Rudd.
Ooh, I
would totally agree with that. No, he is again one of those actors that I go through his filmography. Like I always talk, one of my favorite scenes of anything is Safety Not Guaranteed. Safety Not Guaranteed, the scene where, you know, he reconnects with his high school girlfriend, and there's that really where he's like, no, he's like, you're not old, because if you're old, then I'm old. And then he has this existential cry. Like, again, it is just like a 2-minute scene that when I'm going through it, I watch it, and it's just so, you know, it's him fucking smoking the cigarette, drinking while he's go-kart. Such a powerful scene. Yeah, no, Jake Johnson, dude. I love him, you know. I watched all of New Girl mostly because of him, you know.
Yeah, and same. Like, there's other great characters, but it's all about Jake for me.
You guys are it for me?
Shout out Jake Johnson.
Much.
Yeah. We're going to get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
One of these. I don't care. Episode 200, Jake Johnson.
All right. This feels like the right place to do it. It's one off, because really it would be best if Drew took this pick, but we're not going to have that happen because I want to take it. So I'm going Short Circuit, Ally Sheedy. We're almost at Raven or Sheedy.
Yeah, it would have been
better. Taking a bath and, Bush, you know, flash. Yeah. And the robot comes in and just looks at her and says, nice software.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah. He opens
the door. I don't think I've actually seen this.
Tree in front of his face. She's in
Johnny
the
5 Alive.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's fucking great.
Short Circuit's worth a watch, Scrump. It's pure 80s gold.
Yeah, it fits into another movie we haven't taken yet, but it fits close with that.
It's definitely, it's one on the list that, again, people tell me, and I'm sure when I watch it, I know, and I've heard enough and have sort of like been told enough by people whose opinions that I trust that when I watch it, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I see now why everyone told me like, yeah, you'll really like it. You should watch it. I just haven't actually watched it, but now
Ally Sheedy, Steve Guttenberg. That's all you need to know.
The
Guttenberg. That's right.
I mean, baby.
You can't say no to Goot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's Skynet now, but I remember my brother's like Flex server, I think for a little bit, was named like Johnny Five or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There's Short Circuit.
Yeah, that name sounded familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that movie.
It's a good movie. I actually need to rewatch. I haven't seen
it. I do too.
In a minute. Hot minute, son.
But I was like, Ally Sheedy, I got to wait till the fourth pick to take her.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, we'll keep that momentum going. Because I will also transition with my pick.
Okay.
Because I'm going to pick a movie that a certain gentleman really likes. He likes it so much.
Yeah,
that he spent like an hour and a half on Friday talking to our good friend Scrump here about, and I'm gonna go to the shower scene in Weird Science.
Yes.
So yeah, man, Weird Science. Really,
this is what I meant when I said what I just said. So
same earlier when I was like, it reminds me of
and
I will let the viewer decide.
Yeah, but dude, again, like Kelly LeBrock. Damn, son.
Dude, they put a damn fine ingenuity behind what they built.
Yeah. And they don't like, I don't know. She's like, you don't see.
Not in this scene. Yeah. No, you don't see.
But it's still just.
And then they're in their clothes, which is great.
Yeah.
But they're both like. That,
just weirdly.
Covering up their crotches, which is like. Yeah, that's 100% what we would do.
Yeah.
Like, I talked about this.
Like, yeah, I know what to do.
Yeah.
I talked about this on the review with KA, where I'm like, that's just such a weird, like, I don't think I would be like, if anything, it'd be like, yeah, I'll be in here for 15 minutes and you, or some sort of weird time alternation. Like, I think it's already one of those like weird scenarios, and neither of them are slick enough to have been like, yeah, I'm going to be in here by myself, which I think just sort of makes it more adorable because,
right,
you know, specifically with these two, it's not like who's the cool kid and who's the nerd. It's like, no, they're both fucking nerds. Like, yeah. Absolute nerds, yeah. And don't they, neither, as the kids say these days, as Cash Allen would say, neither of them have the riz to be in there by themselves with her.
Riz.
No,
short for charisma.
Oh, okay.
The riz is kind of this thing you have of like, you know, Andy, picking up girls, my, or whatever.
Andy's,
you know,
my pipeline to teenage slang.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So if you got the riz, like,
I got you.
You got that thing that people want, but yeah, he summed it up perfect. But yeah.
And that's cap, bro.
Having the riz, that's no cap.
That's no cap. Yeah.
Dad, come on.
That's great that you said the riz.
Me? No.
No, Scrump.
Yeah. Hey. No, me.
Oh, you.
K-A.
K-A.
Let you know, girl. It's a blow, girl.
Did you say it's a blowhole?
I said, does it blow? Who's got something good?
If I can go, it's actually breaking news.
Breaking news.
And breaking news, yeah, to where, let me see if I can also Johnson send this.
Has agreed to 200.
Jake Johnson, so breaking news, Jake Johnson has agreed to this. you can check out his response in the group chat. Triple H was making a big world announcement. They have now introduced the brand new WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Dude, that thing's
kind of
sexy.
It's thoughts.
Well, the belt is just it looks like they carved their logo into the big gold belt. Also, they already have two championship belts.
Maybe I'm not. Yeah,
I
think it looks good.
Controversial opinion. Like, I get why they're in love with the branding of their belts. But this very much feels like they just took the current Intercontinental Championship belt and like threw it in a microwave with the old, you know, the old gold belt, and that's what came out. I don't think it's the worst belt they've introduced.
Not even the design that bothers me. It's the belt. Why this title? You have two belts.
Because
you
Roman Reigns.
One person.
Because Roman Reigns doesn't want to work Fridays.
Yeah. Wait.
I can understand. Okay. Yeah. I can understand why people would not like it with the big logo, but I do think it's kind of clean. It gives it almost a New Japan feel, if you will. You kind of see where I'm going with that? Yeah.
All right. Breaking news. I like it.
Big gold belt.
Yeah. Yeah.
BGB.
You know, I got not,
big gold belt.
Yeah, not the worst, but also, you know, I'm sure it'll look nice around Cody's waist.
Yeah.
There's worse looking second place trophies.
Or third place in this.
Wait, so this is, I'm confused of what this belt is then.
It's a third world championship belt.
Why would it be
so,
a third?
So
WWE title, you have the universal title and you have this world heavyweight championship.
No way. No way.
Oh, so here, I'm sending you guys, actually, this is a high res photo of it, which is terrible for audio content. I apologize to you guys. Uh-huh. But so apparently the scenario in which is going on with this.
Yeah, so it looks like they just slapped that logo on, like, just right in the middle of the old big gold belt. So,
yeah. So, okay. Roman Reigns championship will be on one brand. WWE is adding another title, a World Heavyweight Championship. It will be decided at Night of Champions. So presumably coming out of the draft, whatever show Roman Reigns is on, that gets a new belt.
Or
and so confusing.
Other one gets a belt.
Well, no, but I would imagine that they're not going to have him walking around with two belts. I mean, they might in WWE fashion.
They're going to they're just going to get rid of the Universal again.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. It's very confusing. I don't know. There's,
yeah.
You know,
but I feel like the Universal is the one with the 1,000-day mark, right? Or is it the WWE title that has the 1,000-day mark?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's go because, we just got to go. I'll go.
Yeah.
Snowfall ended this week. Wednesday, I talked about a little bit on like it was one of the better fucking finales I've seen in a while. In fact, I might switch an upcoming new episode we have with Mr. Truax to best TV finales.
Okay.
Which I think would be really fun. So, yeah.
Wow.
Because it got me thinking, like, yeah, this was like an interesting take on like the way this ended. So,
okay.
Yeah, and I'm not obviously not going to give anything away, but
yeah,
Eddie, what you got?
I'm running, starting.
You're
starting from the beginning and going through the boys finally. So,
it's fucking
awesome. And I don't know what took me so damn long, but
dude, whatever. I watched six seconds of it, and I was like, "Yep, I love this show." Once A-Train ran through her, and
I was like, "What?"
it's wild to me that. The show, they were trying to get the show made for so long that Simon Pegg was at one point supposed to be Huey and got aged out of the role because it was in development. It wasn't just in development for so long that like,
wow.
Yeah. Which is, I believe in the comic book, Huey looks like Simon Pegg because that's what Eric Kripke had in mind when he wrote the book. Or no, Eric Kripke didn't write the book. He did the show. Whoever, what's the Walking Dead boy?
Yeah, you got me.
James, what's the Walking Dead guy? Oh, he must be.
He screams into the ether because James isn't here. James is busy tonight.
Yeah.
Stephen Yeun? No, I don't know.
Yeah, Stephen Yeun.
Is it Stephen Yeun?
No, it's not.
Daryl Dixon.
No, that's Stephen Yeun's the actor. No, you're talking about
I don't fucking know.
The writer, right?
The writer, whoever wrote the comic books, it's yes.
Like Duberon or something like that.
No, you're thinking about the showrunner who was you're thinking about Frank Darabont.
Frank Darabont.
He did Shawshank Redemption. No.
Yeah.
Robert Kirkman,
there you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the name I was thinking of.
Frank Darabont. Yeah, no. He did the Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Oh man.
We'll get there. We'll figure shit out, guys. Fuck it.
Yeah. So if my last one, I guess, was a Raven, I guess this would be my Sheedy, and I completely because I was smitten over how wonderful of an Earth Day that I had.
Yeah.
Shout out to May Queen. That I completely forgot to fucking mention this. So. There's these fancy condos next to where I live.
Yes.
And
movies.
Yeah. And before that it used to be just a giant empty field.
Point, which,
dude, that's where you were Earth Day. I got it. I'm putting two and two together.
This is part of the amenities
is random movies.
There's these condos now. Before that,
boobies.
It used to just be a random empty field. And when I first started working here, this was almost like 8 years ago, there used to always be this purple like it was a school bus painted purple, and it's like Chicago Haunted Tours or some shit like that. And I remember one time a friend of mine, she was like, "Hey, you just started working at that t-shirt place, right?" And I'm like, yeah. And she was like, "Oh, do you know H.H. Holmes used to have a warehouse there?" And I was like, "Really?" Because there is this older gentleman named Fred who, for all intents and purposes, sort of like the caretaker of this warehouse.
Yeah.
And he would always tell us, but I was like, "Sure thing, Fred. H.H. Holmes had a warehouse here."
All his shit was gone.
Well, it was because they got demolished. But when they were building the condos, that's when it came up that like, or that's why the fucking haunted tour would go there, because that was like where he had one of his warehouses. And again, it was just always a thing. Yeah. And Thursday, I'm going to go pick up the May Queen. And literally as I'm pulling up, and I'm already sort of like in my mind, I'm like, fuck, what I talk about? Like I talk too much of anything. Like I can't. Like, you know, I'm worried. And then Frank sends me a fucking an article that's just like, "Yep, H.H. Holmes had a warehouse here. They sent someone to excavate to see if they could find any bodies. They couldn't. So he may or may not have murdered someone like that." An H.H. Holmes murder house was right here, right next to us.
Yeah.
The Scary Gary of Chicago.
Yeah. It's just fucked up where I'm just like, holy shit. Because again, there is. At the shop, there tends to be like, I don't want to say paranormal activity, but it gets fucking spooky if you're in there by yourself late. And it's happened to me and it's happened to Frank several times where even if I'm there on the weekend doing laundry or something, I'm just like, hello?
hello? But this wasn't his like main hotel thing, right? Like this wasn't. That's
no, but he did that. It is now a post office, I believe, his main one. But he had several little ones littered all over.
I gotta read up on Trinidad's brother.
Yeah, Devil in the White City. It's a great book.
Yeah,
do they have a movie?
Actually, I think they did make one.
Oh, perfect.
No, they've been trying to make a Devil in the White City movie. Scorsese actually has been trying to make one with Leo forever now. And apparently it'll at some point get some traction. And then Andy and I will cover it because we love Martin Scorsese.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Hey,
guys.
Oh, H.H. Holmes. I thought you said H.H. James for a second.
Yeah.
That's why I said Trinidad's brother.
Well, we just roll with it.
Yes. And
yes.
Yep. And Sherlock's brother. Got it.
Correct.
So Raven, oh, there, so she did, dragged on, it's been so Raven, so she did.
Oh, boy.
Oh boy, back to
DiCaprio and Scorsese are creating a Devil in the White City series for Hulu.
Oh, that would be better, I think.
This was from March 23rd, so very recent.
Wow. Yeah, it was.
Is he a cop in the series, though?
Are you a cop?
Yeah.
Is he a co-op?
This is sick.
Not a co-op. I mean, dude, you listen, and like a total like non sequitur, but like looking up the stuff around that is it's so interesting. Like the World's Fair when they had it here, and like there's like one of the buildings still left remaining, and it's like a museum now. So I'm wondering. No, I mean they wouldn't use the museum. Fucking stupid. Forget this. Forget I said that.
Okay, we'll forget it. I'm going to go with...
Wait, I might have been wrong and it might not actually be happening now. Shit.
Guys, just if it happens, it'll happen, all right?
Yeah. We said March 23rd, so...
Yeah, how did it fall through already?
Because he was, in fact, the co-op and they're like, we're not making this...
So Hulu dropped out of it.
Okay.
So Hulu's not going to be a part of it. So
why would people like you have?
Why would you drop out of a Scorsese and DiCaprio thing?
Yeah,
this makes no sense.
It's one of the most like popular books in the last like 20 years. Like, I don't know.
It's so I've seen that it's an ambitious project due to some budgetary concerns due to time period in which it is set,
yeah.
which would involve recreating things like the 1893 World's Fair, an yeah. integral part of the story. So, but somebody fucking do it.
I mean, if you can make,
you got the money.
If you can make Winterfell, you can fucking do this. Let's go with another iconic scene in it's another horror movie, but you know, Nancy's taking that bath and Reddy's hand comes up. Ooh.
Yeah.
Coming up between them legs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just and then again, getting pulled down like in a show that might get picked next year.
Yeah.
Where the bathtub is just like an endless, you know, endless water tank.
So. I think that's also, it's one of those more just iconic scenes where even if you haven't watched,
right?
What?
This is the Ridge, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Nightmare on Elm Street.
I thought you were asking if he had any Riz. I was like, Freddy, not at all.
Dude, Freddy's got all the Riz.
Not in that first one. It's in the later ones where he's got that Riz. In the first one, no. One of those iconic scenes where, again, yeah, even if you haven't watched that original one. Yeah, he has Riz with children, you know, specifically. Yeah. You've seen it. At least that screen grabs somewhere.
I feel like it's been parodied again. I think that even this has been on the cover of, you know, like posters and things like that. So
the biggest thing that you're like wondering this whole time is like, where do I get one of those bath pillows?
Yeah.
Cause that shit looks comfy.
Yeah.
For sure.
It looks like a baseball glove for your head.
All right.
Up next. Let's take it to the hot tub and let's just go hot tub time machine right here. Bam. Just like that.
Okay. Is this our first hot tub?
This is our first hot tub, I think.
Wow.
One of my choices was actually a hot tub, but I have to wait for next year.
All right.
Got it. But yeah, Hot Tub Time Machine, dope ass movie. Like you get the whole like the little like where it speeds up and they're partying and there's funny little captures in there where like, you know, where Craig Robinson has the bear going down and fellation him, mm-hmm. And like all of that. And then the spinny stuff and like all of the drinks and it just kind of sets the hot tub into like this party atmosphere, and you got the time machine portion, so it's everything you can want out of a hot tub scene, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you know, like I'd like to think that, you know, the only reason that I've never cheated on someone was because when I was 7 years old, an old man called my house screaming on the phone just like Craig Robinson did. One of my favorite, like, I think in this movie's particular, Craig Robinson is my favorite because of that. You know, like when he comes back and he's just like, yeah, you cheated on me. She's like, you know, I wouldn't do that because that man who called my house all those years ago and, you know, did that. Like, that's a real fun scene. Same thing when he's like having sex and he's crying. I think like the best part actually, or one of my favorite parts of this movie, that when, the sort of Back to the Future like homage in,
yeah,
because there's only one, but when he sings Let's Get It Started with like the band and
I love old Craig Robinson, man.
Although it was the 80s, so I think they would have used the other version instead.
Yeah. Very true.
And you get a naked ass. So what more can you want? You know?
Yeah. Shout out to Naked Asses.
Yeah. That sequel though, don't waste your time on it.
Talking about Rob Corddry's ass, by the way.
I would probably agree with that. I have not seen it, so it just seems like we didn't say all we needed to say with the first one.
There's parts.
In what, the second one?
Yeah. It's not like as a whole, but there's a couple parts. That's the same for all of these movies. Like, yeah. They find like one or two scenes that are good. They try to put it in the trailer, and then like the rest of the movie just ain't it. Yeah. You know?
Well, who is it?
Scrump.
Scrump.
No. Oh, and equally as hilarious movie, I'm going with Blue Valentine.
hilarious movie.
The scene in particular is it's one where Dean, played by Ryan Gosling, he's in the shower with Cindy, played by Michelle Williams, and this is them. They go to a themed hotel. You know, they get the space theme room, and their marriage is falling apart. You know, the whole movie is interspliced with seeing how they got together and this mm-hmm. cute love story between the two, and I think most of us have been in a situation where it's like, you know, you just got to break things off, but you're trying everything you sort of can in this scenario. And like, you know, Michelle Williams' character, she's just sort of done with it. And you see and it's Ryan Gosling, so he's so charming and stuff like that. And they age them up maybe like 9-10 years in this or whatever. So he's supposed to be like older, but you still like, you see like that Ryan Gosling Riz coming through. And it's just like, just so heartbreaking. Just so heartbreaking seeing like these two. And you know, I'm more of these sort of realistic relationship movies, like a Blue Valentine, like a Eternal Sunshine, you know, as opposed to just like, you know, if you know, we were just talking fucking Hot Tub Time Machine, you know, how many John Cusack rom-coms are there where it's you know, the same sort of repetitive formula? And yeah, no, this is just one of those, like, it's more cringe inducing if anything, because he's, you know, like just trying so hard, and Michelle Williams is just, you know, she's a fucking Heisman Trophy, just nope.
Yeah,
straight Desmond Howard in him.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a fun scene. I'm just like, yeah, here's this depressing movie about a relationship deteriorating. For my next one, a more fun pick, at least, is Ant-Man. And in Ant-Man 1, when he's testing out his powers for the first time, and he goes in the tub and, you know, shrinks all the way down. And to me, it's just one of the more like creative sort of things where it's like, when you see like the tub and just how crazy it looks, where it's like, oh yeah, it is a giant fucking you know, cavern essentially. You know, when he goes down through like the drain and everything, like it's it's really fun. It almost reminds me of I don't know if you guys ever saw that animated movie Flushed Away, Hugh Jackman. Yeah, very much reminds me of that every time I see it. And of course, it's fucking Paul Rudd, so he plays it off amazingly.
Paul Rudd, he's like the mainstream Jake Johnson.
Yeah. That scene and like certain scenes went in that movie, it always reminds me of, I remember there was a video game for like the first PlayStation, when it was like an Army Man video game, and you were the Army Man.
And
you would like run through the kitchen and shit, and like you'd have to like find a way to get up on the counter and shit. Like, that was so much fun. And that's what this stuff in this movie, like when he shrinks down, always reminds me.
Gave me Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
When the ants are chasing after him.
Gosh, man.
Yeah.
Get ready for that. Get ready for Memorial Day if you want to talk Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Ooh.
Is it the best of Rick Moranis?
No, we're doing the saddest scenes in kids movies.
Okay.
There's a few.
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah, not yeah. Bambi.
Well, I mean, that's in there, but it well, could be it could get picked. I mean, not in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's not, but
yeah. That's what I'd say. All right.
Oh,
Andy, what are you going to pick? I'm going to take. Let's go. Let's go another hot tub. Why not?
Okay.
It's like a hot tub, but it's not. It's like a tub. Let's go. Austin Powers.
It's a hot tub. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of vagina.
A lot of vagina. you know, you got the thing where she says, like something about, how dare you pass before a woman or before me or something.
Yeah.
And he says, sorry, I didn't know you had to go.
Yeah.
Like, so stupid, but it's so good.
Yeah.
And she's like, sake. And then like pulls out the sake and like all of the innuendos just absolutely fire in this movie.
Sake it to me, baby.
Yeah. Sake it to me, baby. So,
awesome. I've got a confession.
In it.
I've often talked about how I saw Spaceballs before I watched A New Hope.
Yeah.
And when I watched A New Hope, I was like, what's this fucking bullshit? Like, this isn't funny. You know, I don't like this.
Yeah, Spaceballs rocks. It's the best Star Wars movie of all time. I'm with you.
Well, the very, very much the same way why I've never really enjoyed the James Bond franchises, because I saw the Austin Powers movies before I watched those. And it's just, and I know someone's screaming at me right now about how awesome Daniel Craig is. I love the man as Benoit Blanc, but as yes. fucking, you know, but as James Bond, I'm just like, again, I'm sure if I watch those movies and gave him a chance, I'd love them. But like, Austin Powers, specifically this, like, and I watched so many of them as like when I was a kid, you know, and it's just like,
yeah. No, I always, you know, way, like I've talked about it on here. Like, I mean, you say that, but like Daniel Craig is the first Bond that I actually liked. Like, I didn't really like the Pierce Brosnan movies. To me, when I was growing up, like Bond movies were always like, I considered dad movies. I think you've like talked yep. about that stuff before, yeah. where it's like, that was stuff that like James Bond movies are just movies dads liked, and like I was never like a fan of it.
Well, GoldenEye is what got younger people into Bond.
Yeah, I mean, I love the video game, but
that's what I'm saying. It's
just not a great.
Yeah.
But yeah, man,
dude, this is a grab a pillow scene.
Oh yeah,
it's a movie that you're like watching with the family.
I think I was 14 when this came out. It was like 97. So yeah.
It's just like you're watching a comedy, but like that scene is sexy as hell. I'm not gonna lie.
97?
I think it was, yeah.
There's no way I was 4 years old when I watched this.
I mean, maybe.
Probably not, but
I mean, maybe you saw it when all three were out, maybe, because it was like 97, 99, and I want to say it's like 2000. There was a bigger jump. I think it was like 2000.
I had to have seen this before the second one came out, because yeah. I remember I no,
second one was 99. It was 97, 99, 2002.
Yeah. Dude,
yeah, it had to have been.
And even what's her name?
Or maybe I do remember this as a four. Maybe
which Elizabeth is it? Berkeley? No.
Yeah.
Shue?
No.
Hurley.
Hurley. That's yeah. Berkeley Hurley. From Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Who's yeah. Shue from?
Elizabeth.
I'm Shue. So excited.
She was Elizabeth Shue is the one from I want to say the Nicolas
the Boys.
Cage. Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. That's. There you go. Well, that's where my head went, I guess.
Yeah. Back
from
to
Karate Kid.
Yes. God, what the fuck is that James Bard fucking James?
And Back to the Future too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Nick movie where that he won the worry where he tries to drink himself to death.
Wait, what?
The movie that I loved?
I'm pretty sure. The Nick Cage movie where he tries to drink himself.
Oh, the Nick Cage one. Oh, okay.
National Treasure.
I'm pretty sure she's in that.
I thought you were talking about the movie I loved from a couple years ago, the foreign one.
No. All right. Well, I'm going to go with my hot tub scene. And Andy, you actually just made it a little bit easier for me. I forgot to put myself on the clock. And because I was down between the Austin Powers and this. Again,
wait.
Scene that
doesn't it go to me if Andy just went?
No, nope, you went Ant-Man. I went Austin Powers. Now it's to Drew.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
And this scene kind of does start the movie. It is in the first little part. It's even before I think we hear the famous song being played. And I'm going to go Euro Trip.
Yeah.
You got a little something right here.
Yeah, you got to like, you can't find that scene like on like YouTube or shit. You got to like go to like a porn site to watch that scene.
Yeah.
You can find a very heavily edited version of the scene on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
Can you?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
So I clicked it in. I was like, Euro Trip. I feel like I remember something there. I didn't remember the exact thing, but I remember you got something. Or like I didn't park my car here.
Yeah.
Oh wait. Andy, you got something. You got something right there. Yeah. No, you got to keep getting
more. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, the part that irritated me the most about this is like, I could clearly in my head, I was like, he's talking about the nipple. And she kept going underneath it. And I'm like, that's not your nipple. Like, just got me angry.
Just angry, Andy.
Yeah.
Like, this is a sexy NASCAR.
But yeah, I clicked on a link and it took me somewhere. I was like, oh, I didn't mean to go here.
You know, so, I guess I never thought to look at porn sites for, you know, these scenes.
Well, that's what I just typed in the scene and then I clicked on a thing and it had a link in this article. And the link that I clicked on took me to a porn site.
Oh, okay.
You do have to for some of them. Like I know specifically there's a piano scene in the movie Red Rocket the girl's topless. So you have to go to some like weird porn site.
Banging ass version of that song too.
Yes. So fucking good. So you guys talked about like these movies, you know, like as kids. So and again, I normally I've already said it the one time, shout out to Jesus, you know, my godfather Jesus. But in this instance, I'm going to have to shout out his sister Sandra and shout out Sandra because she like gave me Euro Trip probably around like, you know, whenever this came out. And God bless Sandra for that, because man, did this move like, you know, there's
Euro Trip. I got like Romeo and Juliet. God bless
Sandra.
Jeez. Yeah, God bless Sandra. Yeah, no, it's I love that. I love that movie religiously. Like it is. There's very few movies that I've seen about as much as I have that one, and it's one of those again. Like,
it's so and like, I think it was for the podcast. I like rewatched it like recently and like in the last year or two, and I was just like, dude, like the shit I just forgot about in this because there's so much other like there's so many high points.
Yeah,
or high spots even like that.
You forget about the other thing,
like the fucking the little kid who puts the mustache on him and starts goose stepping behind, and he's just like, "What the fuck is going on?" Is there ever
I will go as so far as to say that the best like song, fictional song in a movie.
Oh yeah,
Scotty doesn't know. Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely, and this is David Hasselhoff's best performance.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not wrong. Yeah. If anybody tries to tell me different, I'll say you're wrong.
What a banger.
Yeah, you get him.
Yeah.
All right, Drew.
Today.
Finish us.
Finish us. All right. This is one of the funniest scenes from my childhood. And it involves a young Miss Priscilla Presley taking a shower and a guy coming in to murder her, but she's singing a song. She's singing Memories and he starts singing along with her. And it's one of the funniest things. Naked Gun 2.5. This scene, like I just, it's so funny. Like he's sneaking in there and then she's singing a song. He just like, Memories.
Yeah, it's, oh God, that's such a good pick.
One of the ones I thought of like immediately. Actually, oh my God, like one of the first things I thought of, I didn't even pick it. Hopefully it goes. It will go in honorables if not. But yeah, it's this is always a big one for me. Like these Naked Gun movies I grew up with, like that was like my family's humor for sure. Anything Leslie Nielsen was
100%
on our house. So
dude, I'll tell you, on TikTok recently, a lot of a lot of clips of the Naked Gun, airplane Naked Gun, like they've been coming up, and it's just one of those where like, and I remember someone making a post, they're like, imagine going like most of your adult life as a serious actor and then discovering that like you're like that comedy is your forte. It's like if all of a sudden Leonardo DiCaprio only did like I don't know like some shit like comedy movies, and I don't know, he's not funny of a guy, and then all of a sudden someone was like, hey, this Scorsese guy wants you to do this movie about this mobster or some shit, or I don't
all scenes like he's on Quaaludes.
Yeah, you're this wolf guy. I don't know, maybe some sort of weird genre thing. I don't know. You're a wolf of something in New York or some shit like that. Do you want to do it? You know, and yeah, like he is so fucking funny. Like he is
the deadpan. It's just
Well, and you guys fucking know firsthand how very much like, you know, Guilty. I hardly even know her. Like just the way, again, the straight face, the way
who's
going to
be
it.
That dude, right? Who? John Hamm.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Man, John Hamm is like Leslie Nielsen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He kind of is when he shows up. Like,
watch Confess Fletch. Yeah. Watch that.
Oh, yeah?
And it'll give you like, I feel like it'll give you the start of the element of what we could see, like where Liam Neeson all of a sudden became an action star or whatever. Like, I feel like with John Hamm, we've seen some of it, but I think like if he gets put in the right movies and the right roles and some of those comedies come back, he could absolutely nail that.
Yeah.
I know forever, Kevin Smith, like, and he was trying to get like a Fletch series going with, what's his name? From Mallrats,
Jason Lee.
Yeah, like he was trying to get Jason Lee, to be Fletch again, and wrote, and on one of his podcasts, he just like reads the scripts, because obviously it never came to fruition, doesn't happen. Yeah. But that, like, Jason Lee, I could have seen it, but now that we say John Hamm, I'm like, okay, that's actually pretty fucking spot on.
Yeah, dude, he would nail it. But
yeah.
All right, Drew, I got one of those to follow up your Naked Gun.
Okay.
Because this, I don't even remember everything that happened in the scene, but the trailer I remember. This is one of my like go-to movies I loved growing up, and this was in the trailer, those funny trailers from the 1980s. Back to School, Rodney Dangerfield. He's down below. There's a bunch of women in a hot tub, and he pops up with the snorkel, and he says, "Now that's what I call marine biology." like, he's got a few other scenes, but that was in the trailer.
Yeah.
That's one that just kind of lives in my head.
Yeah.
I love Rodney Dangerfield. I love the movie Back to School.
I wonder if that, just because like 80s trailers were like this, I wonder if that's even in the movie.
I don't
remember this movie like at all. Like I'm not a big Rodney Dangerfield actor.
Oh, yeah, really?
Like his stand-up's great, but like watching him in like Caddyshack, and like I'm just like
I think maybe like it was growing up with it.
Yeah.
I liked that big personality. I liked his stand up. So I like, it's one of those things where you like somebody
Yeah.
when you're a kid, and you just naturally like literally anything they do.
Yeah.
And Rodney Dangerfield was that for me. Like, I loved Ladybugs. I loved, you know, Back to School. I loved just anything Rodney Dangerfield, like Caddyshack. I loved it for Rodney. Yeah. And then also the Gopher. like, so it's one of those types of things where Rodney was just like,
yeah,
he was a staple of my life.
Yeah. And I get it. Childhood. It's like, was never for me, but yeah. So I like, but I do wonder if that was like, because, you know, like I said, they would like do those in the '80s. Yeah. Do like things like that would just like,
I could, it's just a good point. Like, I need to rewatch it.
That's what I call marine biology. Like,
see,
go ahead.
I think the only movie with him that I've seen is Little Nicky, and even then, it's a pretty far stretch to say that like he's in there much aside from just sort of like the random things. But I've seen, again, like, thanks to like, there's like a lot of random like Instagrams, mm-hmm. and like Instagram film accounts and just like random TikTok like film stuff. Like, I've seen clips, and you know, like Frank, my man, like, you know, like their friend group, like they're big fans, you know, of sort of like of those comedians of that time, you know, the Rodney Dangerfields, the Alex, what's his name? Fucking not Alex Jones. Andrew Dice Clay. I'm sorry. I don't know. Alex Jones and Andrew Dice Clay, all our favorite comedians.
Yeah.
I can't sit here and be like, yeah, I've watched Ladybugs and stuff like that, but I've listened to enough of How Did This Get Made so that I know about a Rodney Dangerfield movie or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And they're probably not great movies, but like, whatever. I like them.
Yeah. No, I don't mean to disparage your pick. I just
No.
I was just saying, like, I would be so interested if that actually, like, and it may very well be in there. If there's probably, like, again, people out there like, yeah, it's in the movie, you fucking dumbass. Like,
it might be, and I couldn't tell you 100% because all I remember like that lives in my head about Back to School is it wasn't a rated R movie, but they showed bare breasts.
Yeah.
So like, I know MASH was a PG movie. I know, Back to School was PG-13.
Andy had all the BG, the PG fucking boobies in the world.
It was like that. It was like, before, Mr. Skin.
Yeah,
before Mr. Skin, there was fucking Andy Liner who could sit there and tell you.
Dude, it was James is actually the guy.
Only PG movies.
Only PG movies.
Yeah. That you could get at the library. All right.
All right, Scrump.
Yeah.
All right. I'll round it off with Easy A. There's the pocket full of sunshine scene in the shower. I believe I was working at the movies when this came out, and this is a really fucking good movie. Like, yes, Easy A, you know, even like what's his name, Stanley Tucci, he's fucking great in this too. Like, it's got such a great cast in it. You know, the Scarlet Letter, and it's funny because this is, I believe, like within a year or two, like the second Scarlet Letter themed or a movie with a theme in it, because in Crazy Stupid Love, you know, there's also like the Scarlet Letter sort of a thing with it. But she's fucking adorable in this. It's just it is genuinely a good movie as well. And I remember, again, me and my best friend Arturo, like, well, again, we are two dudes that are like comfortable enough with their sexualities, like, if someone's gonna be like, oh, you're gay. I mean, again, this is high school, so they're like, oh, you're fucking gay for listening to Pocket Full of Sunshine. Yeah, we were blasting that shit when we weren't blasting like each other, because that's, you know, we were gay. Yeah. No, but like, you know, it's like we weren't playing like our heavy rap music or rock music.
You said
whatever.
Two Pocket Full of Sunshine.
Yeah, you know, Two Pocket Full of Sunshine. That was Andy's nickname, actually. That's my nickname for him on my phone. Yeah, no, just a fun scene. You know, she has a little mohawk that she puts on. It's just like, you know, take me away.
Dude, I love this movie. I don't know if I've ever said it publicly on the podcast, but I've Stanley Tucci in this movie is like kind of what I wanted to be as a dad, essentially. Yeah. So I sent my parents this movie.
Oh yeah, you
That's bring it up on the pod.
Tell it.
So I've sent my parent this movie as like a way to show them, like, hey, this is what I want to be kind of as a dad to my kid, whatever. The issue is I didn't tell them that I was sending it to them. And so like they got this movie and they found the company that sent it to them. And we're trying to like send it back and say like, we didn't order this. We don't want to get charged. So I guess they sent it back, whatever. I don't know. But like, yeah, I was trying to send them this movie. And then like, I found out once I told them like that I sent them a movie, they were like, oh, and then they told me the story of how they were trying to like send it back and call the company based off of like the phone number that came on the packet. Like, all of that, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. But yeah, Big Easy EA fan here.
Big Easy.
Courtney Rule. It is three in a row honorables.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you got it.
I'm going to go with Black Swan, where Nina, played by Natalie Portman, she's fucking going crazy, and she's underwater, and she sees her, like, doppelganger above her, and she's you know, she's bleeding, and she just comes up and then fucking sees the blood on the, like, on the bathtub. It just freaks out,
and she's just like, it's Portman, motherfucker.
Yeah, you know, she's like, yeah, you know, she says fuck them kids, and it's another part in the song. She does, you know, she smokes all the weed, does coke all day. Another scene in Requiem for a Dream, you know, when Marion, played by Jennifer Connelly, also, you know, she is now forced to sell her body for drugs, you know, and this is her just underwater, just screaming in, you know, screaming into the water. Two things that I learned from this, from over the years of just having like certain scenes, anytime I would Google this scene in the comments, Darren Aronofsky apparently copied this scene from some anime, and all the anime nerds love to fucking tell you how much that. But someone also pointed out that it is either a giant tub or she is facing the opposite way, because if the way she's sort of facing, the minute she puts her heads up, she's fucking hitting that sink, or, you know, the faucet right there. Not the worst thing, though, that happens in that movie, I would like to think. To her, at least. And last, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Harry's trying to figure out what to do with this golden egg, and you have old, horny, moaning Myrtle just like trying to fucking jam his fucking wand in her mouth, and she's like, "Ooh, put the egg underwater, ha ha ha!" And he does it, and then, you know, Gillyweed, and, you know, Voldemort's back,
Gilly,
all that good stuff. Yeah.
All right. Oh,
man. All right,
Andy.
First one I'll go with is Scarface.
You know what's funny is I actually wanted to pick another showers or bath, like an actual shower scene in this, but there's no hot water. So, but where they got the fucking chainsaw.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. This is the one where.
Yeah, Tony's just in that giant
tub. Yeah, and he's got a TV, and then like the monitors. To the side, there is a derogatory term that gets thrown out there, but this is, you know, whatever. Older movies. It's the,
which one?
The.
I'm kidding. You don't have to say it.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
James is already mad enough.
Yeah, it rhymes with stick. But like, yeah, and then Tony's like, you know, talking about like he made this money or whatever after she walks away, and then the other guy walks away who's got the date. So Scarface. The other one I'll go with is, let's go with The Jerk. He's in the bathtub, he's professing his love to the lady, and she's leaving the place. She puts a note under the door, and as she's leaving, he asks her to marry him, and then he sees the note, and because it's wet, he can't really read the whole thing.
Yeah.
He runs out naked, picks up his big dog, puts it on the front. He picks up this dog that's on the lawn with this lady, puts it behind him, and he's like, you know, kind of yelling for her, looking for her. Then he puts the dog back down, runs back in. But yeah, so the jerk. And then the last one I'll go with is, let's go scary movie, Cindy scene in the bath where like her feet just keep freaking going.
Yeah.
You know, and she's not tied up or anything. Once someone comes and saves her, she just gets up. There's nothing on her hands or anything. So she could have just turned the water off or like got up out of the tub. But yeah.
Yeah. All right.
There we go.
Yeah. And
oh, I forgot one.
For mine, again, this is the one I was referencing earlier that was like one of the first things I thought of, and I'm just now picking it for some reason. But Ace Ventura, when he he realizes Finkel's Einhorn. I reference that all the time, like, you know, like if I'm talking about, like, you know, laying in the shower in the fetal position, that's where I that's my reference point. So that's kind of a funny scene. I'll tell you one that's not funny whatsoever, but it's like ever burned in my head, and that's the American History X shower scene. Yeah. Don't Google it. Let's go with, oh man, there's a couple on here. You know, I'll go with American Beauty. I'm gonna go her with the rose petals.
It's a good one.
Yeah,
dude, she is still a babe, like, yeah, to this day.
Mia Sorvino, right?
Oh,
yeah. Mina Sorvino.
I think it's Sorvino. But yeah, like, spicy meatballs, you know.
That's right. James making them.
Exactly. But yeah, man, like those are my tree. Again, like that one, like American Beauty is just like, again, it's like the cover, it's the road, you know, it, the poster or whatever. You know, it's like,
I already forgot your first one. What
it's
was
iconic.
It?
Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura, yes.
Yeah.
Fetal position.
Yeah.
All right. Any ad drops or trades
or steals?
Yeah,
I'm airtight.
Oh,
I think I'm locked and loaded.
Yeah, fucking Roman Reigns style. yeah, I'm good to go too.
All right, for the conclusion of Wet Month. Bath shower scenes, Drew's team.
I hope you guys all enjoyed it.
Pick one, Psycho, Killer, Norman Bates. Pick two, Porky's. Number three, The Big Lebowski. Number four, Weird Science, Shout the KA. Five, A Nightmare on Elm Street. Six, Euro Trip. And seven, Naked Gun 2.5.
Yeah.
For Andy's team of Wet Month, Bath shower scenes. Pick one, The Pest. Number two, Coming to America. Pick three, Home Alone 2. Number four, Short Circuit. Number five, Hot Tub Time Machine. Number six, Austin Powers. And number seven, Back to School. For Scrump's team, number one, The Shining. Number two, Inception. Number three, Pulp Fiction. Number four, Drinking Buddies with
Jake Johnson.
The Indy, Paul Rudd, Jake Johnson.
A guest for episode 200.
Yes. Number five, Blue Valentine. Number six, the mainstream Jake Johnson, Paul Rudd. And number seven, Easy A. There, man, it is.
Those are some good scenes, guys.
We nailed it.
Yeah. Did it.
We did it. We did it. We did it.
Woohoo! Join us next month for, we won't be wet anymore, I guess.
No.
Yep.
We won't.
I still will be listening to you guys.
Yeah. Hey.
There might be a surprise next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, also listen to PWT Cast. We got the two hosts here right now. So
listen
what
to
are you doing?
Joe.
Yeah. Exactly.
They go and listen to all of them. Doesn't matter the last time they made one. It's still jamming songs.
It is. The songs still bang.
They still slap.
That's right.
Slap harder than my nuts. All right.
Yeah. And if you already aren't, make sure you're following us over on social media. We're at the Draft Pod Official on Instagram and Twitter.
We suck so much.
And here's friend of the show, Kenny Omega. Loves you, bitch.
Kenny Omega here, friend of the show.
And I just want to say, I love you, bitch.
Well, that's our show. Tune in next week for another episode of The Draft Podcast.